Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Ace with the Trap Life with Ace Podcast. Thanks again for joining me, episode 3. Today's episode, I wanted to cover, I've been getting a lot of questions about what is Trap Life and why I decided to name the podcast Trap Life. Obviously, it's a play on words. Trap is short for entrepreneur, but it also speaks to the society that we grew up in. I was born in the 80s, as they call me, an 80s baby. A lot of us grew up in a hip hop culture, right? And in the hip hop culture, we're familiar with the trap. And the trap is where young men and women hustle. And they may be involved in illegal activity, but nonetheless, it's still entrepreneurship. But it's entrepreneurship that has some negative connotations involved with it. So we wanted to flip that a little bit. So since a lot of the young guys that I grew up with were in the trap life, some of you who are listening may know some people who are in the trap life. One of the things that we do have to acknowledge is that regardless of the product, success in any business endeavor still relies upon some of the basic entrepreneurial systems and principles that must be followed in order to achieve that success. So the trap is a flip on that concept. A lot of the guys that we looked up to in my neighborhood growing up in Brooklyn, New York, were gentlemen who were in the trap life. Hustling drugs, hustling violence, hustling other illegal activities, right? However, we still looked up to them. Some of them still did things for our neighborhood, you know, Turkey Day on Thanksgiving. Some of the hustlers would come by the neighborhood and give out dollars to the kids and make sure, you know, ask the kids if they ate today. And if you didn't eat, you know, we got you a sandwich, and still showed love. And you know, it's a give and take, a double-edged sword, right? So such damage being done to the community, but at the same time looking out for the community. And we looked up to those guys. It is what it is. One of my favorite musicians and poets happens to be a man by the name of Sean Carter. A lot of you guys know him as Jay-Z. We know his backstory. If you don't know his backstory, started in the street, started in the trap life, transitioned into the trap life, and is well on his way to becoming the first hip hop billionaire. Now that's left to be argued whether it's Puff Daddy or whether it's Dr. Dre or whatever the case is. But nonetheless, he's transitioned from the trap to the trap life and has had more success, more longevity in the legal trap life than he's had in his former life. So that's what that's about. So what's trap life? Trap life is the life pursuit of entrepreneurial excellence. Excellence. That's what it's all about. It's all about being excellent at being an entrepreneur. What's an entrepreneur? Someone who finds a problem, finds a solution to that problem, and sells the solution. It's as simple as that. That's my definition. It's not the Webster definition. But that's my definition of what an entrepreneur is and what we are as entrepreneurs. So a little bit of a history lesson, right? So I did mention Black Wall Street, my endeavor to rebuild Black Wall Street in the digital age through e-commerce, and that all coming up under the umbrella of Trap Life and the Trap Life brand. In our most recent history, 1800s, coming out of the enslavement of our people. If you don't know, one of the most extraordinary things that happened is once the enslaved ancestors of ours were released, the first thing we did was set up businesses for ourselves. And that may be business in the form of having a farm, business in the form of lending your skill set, whether you were a carpenter, a mason, a cowboy, right? A lot of us were the original cowboys, right? And that could go into a whole nother conversation. But anyway, the entrepreneurial spirit is within all of us. And as we look at the society today, and we look at the cost of college, we look at the wealth gap between people of African ancestry, most commonly known as Black folks, the wealth gap between Black people and white people, extremely wide gap. And I believe the quickest and most efficient way to close that gap is through entrepreneurship. All of us have a solution to a problem. And if we don't, we can easily find one. Because what is the world full of? It's full of problems. Not enough problem solvers. A lot of problem makers, not enough problem solvers. Not enough individuals out there willing to put themselves on the line to be the one to provide the solution to those problems. So the problem that I'm trying to solve here is that wealth gap and how to close it as quickly as we can. And I truly believe that once we establish ourselves as entrepreneurs, and not just serving ourselves in our Black community, but serving everyone. You see, what happened during the times of segregation and integration, a lot of people might argue that, segregation was to allow for us to be able to have access to what our white counterparts had access to: restaurants, bathrooms, water fountains, schools, colleges, jobs, all the things that we wanted and we thought and felt that integration would help us solve that problem. And my belief is, and I'm willing to debate it, is that integration had nothing to do with allowing us into their world, but had everything to do with allowing our dollars to no longer be segregated in the Black community and to integrate our Black dollars into the greater society. And that's where integration became effective, because as they say, a lot of our folks, as soon as integration hit the streets, we felt that the white man's ice was colder. So let's go buy the ice from him and not the brother or the sister down the street that had ice as well. Ice is ice, right? When we were segregated, we couldn't walk into their establishment to buy ice. We had no choice but to buy ice from our own people. And that is where I believe is the crux of where we started to fall behind. And we're blinded by this social integration, but it was really economic integration. So Trep Life is all about reinvigorating the entrepreneurial spirit that already lies within us. We talk about Black Wall Street. Black Wall Street did not just exist in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Black Wall Street existed everywhere where Black people existed in the times of segregation. And as integration became the norm, we started to fade away, where we could live in their neighborhoods, we can shop in their stores, and we can do all of these different things that we weren't able to do before. And we kind of lost track of where we could have been more effective by making sure that we kept our businesses to ourselves. And also another thing that happened was, everyone outside of the Black community can come into the Black community and establish a business. And we willingly give our dollars to those individuals. For example, growing up in Brooklyn, New York, Chinese food restaurant, beauty supply store, fish market, the dollar store. Some of the most essential businesses in our community were not ran by us. And what happens, and the stats will show that the Black dollar only stays in the Black community for hours, while the Chinese dollar stays in the Chinese community for days and months. And the white dollar could stay in the white community for months, and the Korean dollar, and so on and so forth. And it's interesting how everyone can come into our neighborhood and establish businesses and make money off of us. But on the flip side, if we were to take our businesses and go establish it in Chinatown, or go establish it in Crown Heights in certain neighborhoods where the Jews live, or go establish it on Main Street, we don't get the same patronage that we offer everyone else. So while we think that we're socially integrated, we are still economically segregated from being able to draw dollars from other communities into our own. However, we are integrating our dollars into their communities by having them establish their businesses in our communities. And we continuously shop there. And if a black business pops up, we tend to hold that black business at a higher standard than we do the others, where if we're not satisfied with the service or the goods that we received up front from the black business, we quickly say, see, I knew they would do me like this. I'm going to go spend my dollar with Mr. Chan. Or I'm going to go spend my dollar with Mr. Swartz. Or I'm going to go spend my dollar with whoever. Fill in the blank. So what does this all mean in the digital age? Here's where the beauty of e-commerce lies. If you take your black-owned business and remove the physical face behind that business, meaning that when somebody steps into your physical store and they see you as the business owner and you are a black person, a decision is made in that customer's mind that they are shopping at a black-owned business. And that might not be a good thing. However, if your store is established online, the person is sitting on their cell phone or in front of their computer, and they are simply looking and exclusively looking at the product and the service that you are offering. Now, if your product and your service is of top notch, quality goods, quality service at a decent, affordable price, the color of your skin and the origin of the business owner matters none at all. Makes no difference to the customer, because that is not what they're seeing. They're only seeing the offerings that you have to offer. And a decision to buy is not based now upon who am I buying from, but what am I buying, and is it going to be what I'm looking for and the quality that I'm looking for at the price that I'm looking to spend. And you can have your business span across the nation and have eyeballs from all over the nation placed upon your website making buying decisions without the color of your skin being a factor. That is a beautiful thing. So if I was selling that $1.50 chain that I was selling in a physical store, would I have made several hundreds of dollars within the first 2 to 3 months of me selling that product? Maybe not. But because I was selling my product online, who I am as a person matters not to the decision made by the customer. All they care about is, am I getting what I'm looking for? And I provided that product for them at a reasonable price, and they bought it. And we made hundreds of thousands of dollars on that product, and the color of my skin never came up at all. Not even my name ever came up at all. A beautiful thing, isn't it? So take that into consideration, why it's important that those of us who are black business owners find ways to integrate our business into the greater society, not only to serve ourselves as black people, but to serve the greater society that we live in. We're all Americans here. Why should my business not be patronized by all Americans? Is my business exclusively for black people? Not all of them. This Black Wall Street e-com revolution is focused for exclusively for black business owners. But my other stores, my other products, my other businesses aren't. So to be able to make $1.5 million within the first 2 years of me starting a store with nothing, from nothing, was easier and more efficient to be done as an e-commerce platform or as an e-commerce store than it would have been as a brick and mortar store. So I really want you guys to take that into consideration. Really think about what that means to us as a community, what that means to us as a society. Not only can we serve ourselves, but we can serve the greater society by having online stores, whether you're selling a product or a service. Now, you may say to yourself, well, what if I'm running a restaurant, I have to have a physical location. Absolutely, you have to have a physical location. But you can also have an online store that offers where people can book catering services from you. They can maybe buy a branded merchandise from you. And that branded merchandise can be aprons, can be cups, can be pots and pans like Rachel Ray and those guys do. Online businesses can complement any business that exists today. I don't care what it is. Through merchandise, through booking services. Having a presence online expands your reach. So, again, to recap, Trep Life, the life pursuit of entrepreneurial excellence. If you want to be an excellent entrepreneur, you must, it is imperative that you consider all of your options and you consider the option that you have available to you when it comes to e-commerce. Rebuilding Black Wall Street in the digital age through e-commerce is the way. If I am going to directly or indirectly influence a million people to become millionaires, I believe the most efficient and effective way to do so is to make sure that these individuals are presenting their businesses to the greater society and to the world through an e-commerce platform. Through an online store. Period. I think that's the way to go. Now, will it happen overnight? Absolutely not. Will it happen in my lifetime? Maybe not. If it does, great. I'm still young. I got some years. But as I mentioned in my previous podcast, I know how short life can be. So the more I do now and the more I can influence others to get it going now, today, let's get it going today. A good friend of mine recently listened to my podcast. In the second episode, I spoke about where to get started when it comes to deciding what business to get in. And he started that day and texted me like, hey, man, Ace, this is what I did. I got started. He was influenced. He was inspired. He was empowered to know that someone that looks like him, that comes from the same community that he came from. This young man that I'm talking about is a young man that I remember saving his life. A couple of brothers of mine saved his life because of street violence, took him to the hospital, and he could have died on the street if we weren't there to help him out. This brother is a miracle. He's still here, and he's saying to himself, hey, man, I got to get it going, and thank you for presenting what you're presenting to the world because it means that I can do it too. This is why I do what I do. Of course, I do it for my last name. Of course, I do it for my children. Of course, I do it for my legacy. But my legacy encompasses not just my immediate family, but my greater family. You guys who are listening to this podcast now. So let's take Trep Life. Let's flip it away from the trap. Let's bring it into the entrepreneurial realm where we're looking at legitimate businesses. Doesn't matter what business you're in or what business you want to get into. E-commerce evens the playing field and makes it so that anyone can enter the game and have a chance of winning at whatever game they want to play or whatever business they want to be engaged in. So, short episode today, guys. Just want to drop nuggets, just want to drop gems that they can be picked up easily, digestible, and to show that we're really not that far from regaining the excellence that we came from. We're really not that far from it. We've come so far in such a short period of time. What other people have done what we have done in such a short period of time? None. Let's get on the e-commerce game now. Let's dominate the e-commerce game. How many Fashion Novas can we have? Because if you understand that we are the controllers, the sole controllers of culture in this society, fashion, music, art, we run the game. We know that, but we don't run the game. The game is taken from us, repackaged, flipped, given back to us, and we spend all of our money and none of it is integrated back into our own society. I have no knocks against a company such as Fashion Nova, but what I do know, it ain't owned by us. We patronize these companies. If they provide a good product, rightfully so. But let's compete, y'all. Let's compete. We know how to curate culture. We know how to curate fashion. I love what my sister Rihanna is doing out there with Fenty and the brands that she's now building under the LVMH umbrella that she's building it under. Would I have preferred to see her build it under her own? Sure. But all of us got desires that none of that will never be satisfied, right? It is what it is. She chose the way she wanted to go about doing it, but it's still getting done. That's what matters. So yeah, Shopify is not a black-owned company or black-owned e-commerce platform, but we could surely use that platform to maximize our profits and our returns and grow our businesses, absolutely. So I'm not talking about segregating ourselves. I'm talking about integrating ourselves into business in the digital world. Let's integrate ourselves into e-commerce. Let's integrate ourselves into the what's happening when it comes to business nowadays, because it's mostly being done online. If you want to find food, you get on your computer and you go on your cell phone and say, hey, I'm looking for fish tacos. Where can I find fish tacos? If you want to find weave, you looking online. Where can I get this bundle? Whatever it is you're looking for, most of it you're looking for online. So as I mentioned yesterday, what if you're considering getting into business or you're already in business and you want to know what type of products to sell, you start with what the top five products that you just bought in the last 30 to 90 days. Start there, because I can almost assure you that you didn't buy it from somebody that looks like you. If you did, great. Thumbs up to you. But if more of us were available to provide that product that you bought, that means the chances of it coming into a black-owned business's pockets are a lot higher than they stand today. That's all I'm saying. So follow me along with this journey, y'all. Stay tuned in. Stay plugged in. I ain't here to save the day, but I'm here to make a way for those of us who understand that we are now in the precipice of greatness. We are at that point. I love brothers like Boyce Watkins, Jay Morrison. You see what Jay Morrison, I've been to several of his street corner events right down here in South Florida. He's been to Miami. I've been down there and sat with the brother. Wonderful what he's doing in the real estate and the wealth financial literacy game. Number 13 fastest growing education companies. Number one when it comes to real estate. Shout out to my brother Jay Morrison. If any of you guys are listening to this and you follow Jay Morrison, let him know I said big up to him. Of course, I let him know on Instagram all the time. But that's what we need. We need more of us. We need more people getting involved in business. A lot of us have businesses, but we're staying too small. We're thinking too small. We're not thinking broad. The world is a lot smaller when it comes to the internet. We can reach a whole lot more people for a lot less dollars. And we can really make a difference in our families' lives and in the future lives of our people. So let's embrace Trap Life, y'all. Let's embrace entrepreneurial excellence. Let's embrace the life pursuit of that entrepreneurial excellence and stay plugged in. If you want to reach me, I could be reached at on Instagram at Trep Life Ace, TrepLifeAce. I just changed my Instagram tag from Inkwell to Trep Life Ace just to make it more consistent. So that's where you can find me, y'all. Send me your messages, send me your questions, your suggestions. your concerns, your, if you need any help with anything, I'm here for it. That's what I'm here for. Look out for the course I'll be dropping over the next couple of weeks. You'll start hearing a lot more. And every day I'll be dropping the podcast. So give me some ideas, y'all. A lot of this stuff is coming off the top of my head. I ain't a freestylist, but this is coming off the top of my head, y'all. But I feel so passionate about it, I could speak about it all day long. But for the sake of time and for the sake of your time, I appreciate you listening today. Stay tuned in. I'll talk to you guys soon. Peace.